Your homework assignment is tomorrow morning when you chant your rounds, is to make an effort to chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life. Okay? Is everyone okay with that assignment? So now we're going to help you. We're going to try to help you do that. So you can be thinking, okay, I have to chant the best rounds of my life, and now tonight I'm going to get help how to do it. So, think we can do it? Get close to it. Well, anyway, the point is, the reason we do this exercise, you're going to do it tomorrow morning, and you'll do it, we'll give you the assignment also Thursday night. What's tonight? Tuesday? So Wednesday, Thursday, we'll give it to you Friday. The reason we do it, which you'll soon see if you haven't figured it out, is anytime you try to do something better than you normally do it, you try harder, and you get a better result, which is one of the reasons we don't always get a good result when we chant japa, because we're not always trying so hard, right? I mean, you like try the hardest you can every morning? I don't think so. I don't think very few people do that, right? But it's one of the essential elements of chanting good japa. So I do a workshop. It's about 15 hours. I'm challenged to put that into three. So my strategy is to say things that will spin your head around. And you may hear them and think, that's not right. But I personally am going to bring up those things that might challenge your conceptions of chanting and what it is. It's intentional. Because if we only have 3 hours, then we have to do more shaking. You ready to be shaken? Anybody not ready to be shaken? We'll shake. Okay. So I want to start by asking a question. What do you think is worse, nam, aparad, or meat eating? Anybody can take it. It's got to be one or the other. Which is worse? Not eating meat or committing offense to the holy name? Who says namapara? He says namapara. All right. What do you say? He says namapara. Wow. You were going to say? Meat. She says meat eating. Well, I'll give you. Okay, just tell me, and then we'll go around and get the reasons. Not yet. Who else?
I'd like to believe
meat eating. Yeah. Yeah. We would. Yeah. That's. It's a good answer, yeah. Okay, we'll start with the reasons, okay. One meat eating and one namaparada, then we'll see who's right. Okay, what's your reason? Yeah, that was the definition of falling away from Krishna consciousness, that you're eating meat. So that means they could still be chanting. So meat eating is, then you figure meat eating is worse because they could be chanting. But if they eat meat, then they're, okay. Now we need for namaparad. Right. He doesn't like that answer. The word aparad means offense. And they're listed in scripture offenses. You also have offenses to the deities. There's standard. Offenses are, you're violating certain standards of the way something should be respected. But it's not just something. It's personal. Like, I think the best way to say, if you were personally violated, like in some way violated, physically, emotionally, it's something like that. It's not just, oh, you broke a rule, but it's a violation of a very important principle. but there are specific rules that govern what is considered offensive in worshiping the deity, what is considered offensive in chanting, and what is considered offensive in dealing with devotees, what is considered offensive in living in a holy place. But the idea of offense is actually, it's a mentality. Everyone is looking at you instead of me. Hare Krishna. So, if you want to shoot, you have to go in the back. Are you making video?
Yeah.
Can you do it in the back? Because
it's more like
so you just set it up and then leave it. Okay. So, apparatus, it reflects a mentality. Improper mentality. Okay. Yes. Right. It's not intentional. Yeah. So the Shastra says, if you're not chanting properly, keep chanting, and then you'll overcome. Okay. Anybody else? Uh-huh. So it would be more offensive to eat meat. Because Krishna's not personally offended. All right. He's forgiving. Anybody else? Okay. So I did say I was going to shake you up, right, and twist your mind around. So the answer is, Namaparad is more offensive than any sinful activity.
Oh.
And the reason is, you were right, and it'll be hard for you to understand this, but it's directly a direct offense to Krishna. Because it's neglecting, Namaparad basically is neglecting Krishna. So it's a direct offense to Krishna, whereas you said meat eating is offensive. It's against Krishna's instructions, but it's not a personal offense. So Shastra says the other thing, that if you commit a sinful activity like meat eating or anything, you can purify yourself quite easily. You can chant the holy name or you can atone. Just by chanting you can become purified. If you don't intentionally commit a sin with the idea I'll chant and become freed. But it is said that nam aparad, it's difficult to overcome it. That there's a tendency. We already have a tendency to be offensive, even though we don't want to admit it. But it's kind of like the people in prison don't want to admit they did anything wrong. But we're here in the material world, which shows that we have an offensive mentality. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So we're trying to overcome the mentality that we're God, that we're great. And it manifests in envy towards other people and jealousy. So, Namaparad is an expansion of that mentality on some level. Because a lot of times we are chanting Hare Krishna and we are not thinking of Krishna. We are thinking of what we always think about. I'm worried about this. I hope this works out. Why is that? Interesting, isn't it? I mean, we all have this problem, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you're like already figuring out what you're going to do 10 years from now. Hare Rama. That's a good idea. Why? And just the idea, just think of Krishna, just here. Sometimes it's really difficult. Because there is something within us that is adverse to Krishna on some level. Hard as it is to admit it, it's there. And it makes it difficult to just focus on the holy name. I mean, guys, if you fall in love with a girl, it's pretty hard not to think about her 24/7. Right? What to speak, if you think maybe she's with another guy who's going to try to grab her away from you, you're like obsessed, right? So, You can think of, or same thing for girls, you can think of something 24/7. But why is it so hard to think of Krishna? Because we're coming out of a conditioning. So aparad is a reflection of that. So it's considered more detrimental to one's spiritual life. Interesting, isn't it? The reason I'm bringing this up is because we all think, or we take it for granted, that if we're living in a temple or we've been initiated, we want to get initiated, we just have to mouth the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 108 times 16, which comes out to what, 1,728 or something? Who knows? See, like I got a calculator in my head. 1,728. So we think 1,728 times I say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I'm good to go. Clocked in my time. No. No. Every time we chant the holy name, we have to be extremely careful about committing offenses. So that what we think can be service can be undermining on some level. Now, we just heard, if you commit offense, continue chanting. That's what our scriptures tell us. But, there's a but. Would you like to hear the but? How many of you would like to hear the but part of that? The but part, there's always, you know, sometimes you think you understand something, but there's the but. You could make $10,000 in 1 week. Just sign here, you know. But there's always the but, you know. You know, this doesn't happen for everybody, you know. If you have 3 PhDs, then you have a better chance, you know. So here's the but. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in detail this instruction is not that you just keep chanting. Because if you keep chanting with aparad, what happens? I'm teaching you to play harmonium and you're doing it wrong. And you go practice and you practice wrong. And you come back and I'm teaching you again. It's actually better you don't practice, in a sense, than practice wrong. Because now I have a harder time teaching you. Right? You're practicing a language and you're learning from a teacher who doesn't pronounce the language properly. That's not good. You want to practice, or you're not practicing properly. So, when you offend somebody and you want to make up, what do? Do you keep offending them? Do you keep hanging out with them and just being nasty and hoping by being nasty over and over again it'll get better? So just chanting, will it automatically get better? Not necessarily. Would you like to hear a story? How many of you would like to hear a story? To make sure you're awake. Would you like to hear a story?
Yes.
Yes. Enthusiastic.
Yes.
Ready, boy. If you're not enthusiastic, I could fall asleep in this chair. Okay. So, I'm going to move this because I don't want... I'm not even using it. So, once upon a time in the history of ISKCON, there was a group of devotees. And you understand, everyone who joined in the beginning was a hippie. So, those tendencies were very strong. And so, when people became weak in their spiritual life, they tended to just go back to doing what they were doing. But they'd add a little Krishna. So what do hippies do? You know what they do. There are 4 regular principles. They're expert in breaking 2 of them. You know which 2. It's not gambling. Yeah. Yeah. So not gambling and meat eating. The other 2. So there's a group of devotees who, I don't want to say left Krishna consciousness, but anyway, they left, apparently left ISKCON or left, just left the confines of the temple, and lived together, and they were chanting Hare Krishna and following 2 regular principles. And so the GBC said, was talking to them, and he said, you know, this is offensive, you're disobeying Prabhupada's instructions. And they said, well, what should we do? At least we're chanting, it's better than not chanting. So that was brought to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, they're chanting, but they're disobeying the order of the spiritual master because they were all initiated, so they all made a vow. So once you make, you know, if you don't make a vow, you're not disobeying the order, right? But once you make a vow, you're disobeying the order. So they made the vow. So Prabhupada said, they made a vow, and they're not following it. So they're disobeying the order of the spiritual master, which is the third offense. He said, and then the devotee representing them said, but Prabhupada, they said, at least we're chanting. And Prabhupada said, maybe 100 lifetimes, there'll be some benefit. So in other words, if the mentality is, I'll just chant and it doesn't matter, I can commit offense, I'm not trying to avoid the offense, then there may be no benefit for hundreds of lifetimes. So we are under the impression that if we just chant, everything will get better, right? It's normally how we think. So I said, I was going to shake you up. I could be polite about it. I don't have time to be polite and take you gradually. And I know this is not always what Prabhupada says. So it's probably not what you normally hear. But just chanting is not what we want. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, if you commit offense, chant in remorse. I'm sorry I offended you. Holy name, I'm sorry I offended you. There's a difference in chanting and chanting in remorse. So isn't that interesting? Apologize to the holy name for committing offenses? That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Ever thought of that? Oh, holy name, I didn't chant my rounds properly yesterday or the day before or last week or the week before. That's an interesting concept, that there's a offense being made. No, so what is the offense? Well, I come here to give a class and you're all talking to one another. And I'm sitting ready to do the class and you totally ignore me. Is that an offense? Or vice versa, I come here and I'm on my computer doing my email and you're all sitting here waiting for me. I'm ignoring you. Is that offense? Yeah, it's something. You may not take offense, but it's not proper etiquette. We chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna's name, according to what we've learned in Scripture, is Krishna. It's non-different. It's not something representing Krishna. It's not a sound which isn't Krishna. Inconceivable as it is, it's Krishna. Don't try to figure it out. You can't. It won't make sense. I've tried for 43 years. It doesn't make sense. Prabhupada said it's inconceivable. If it's inconceivable, you're not going to understand it. You understand it by practicing it, by chanting with reverence, by chanting, accepting that Krishna's in his name. When we chant like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram. Prabhu, Prabhu, did you hear what happened? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. You won't believe it, it's amazing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'll tell you later, I got to chant. Hare Krishna. Well, I'll tell you a little bit now. So, Krishna's there, right? I mean, we could do a whole play of all the things we do when we chant, right? Krishna's there. Where are we? Are we with Krishna? That's called offensive. That would be offensive to anybody. Somebody's talking to you. You don't hear anything they say after they tell you. Could you say that again? I wasn't listening. And then you tell them again and say, I'm sorry, Prabhu, I was thinking of something. You know, after a while, it's frustrating, right? That's offensive. Your spiritual master comes to your house, you're watching television, saying, Guru Maharaj, could you just wait till the show's over? That's really good. I've been like, you know, this is like Seinfeld reruns. They're like really good. You know, it's my favorite show. Yeah. So, was that offensive? Yeah. So, what I want you to get initially is, don't take it for granted that you can just chant. It's just like, Hare Krishna, I just do 16 rounds or whatever you do, it's okay. I can, you know, kick back, lay back, you know, turn on the TV, chant, do my emails, surf the internet, talk, space out, walk around, you know. That's not japa. So it's really, what I really want to do, aside from frighten and scare you and spin your head around, I will continue to do that because it's necessary. I want you to understand what japa is. Because I think a lot of us, we just get our beads and we go, and the person who gives you beads goes, here's the mantra, it's right here. You start on this bead, and you finish on this beat and you spin around and just try to hear. And it's about all the instructions you get. And then you start chanting. And what do? First thing, Hare Krishna, and your mind's off in the clouds. Because your mind's off. Our minds are always off in the clouds. Our minds are spinning around thinking a million things. That's what they do. Minds like to think. They like thoughts. Just like you like prasadam, you eat prasadam when you're hungry. The mind's hungry for thoughts. It just likes thoughts, and it likes to digest thoughts and come up with more thoughts and think about things, and it likes to worry. You guys like to worry, my grades or my class, my money, or I get this job. Does she love me? Does she hate me? Right? Everybody likes to worry. Oh, I really want to do this. I wonder if they're going to pick me for this. Yeah. So that's all going on. And then Hare Krishna comes in, and the mind, Prabhus. That's not japa. It's not. And if we understand that, that's the beginning of improving. Because then we won't just stick our hands in our bead bag, sit back and relax and enjoy the flight, but we'll actually chant. Now, this is the number Prabhupada gave. If you live in a temple, 16. If you take initiation, 16. If you want to take initiation, 6 months to a year, 16 rounds. Right? That's the practice. That's the principle. Very important to understand something about 16 rounds that we often get caught up in. We think the goal is 16. If I just chant 16 rounds somehow or other, that's it, I'm okay. We should understand that goal of 16 sometimes is our biggest obstacle. You ever chanted your rounds and calculated how many you have and how many you have left? Oh, it's 6:30, we've got an hour, I can get them done. Oh, no, oh, my God, the class would be over at 8, and I still have 4 rounds left, and, I'm tired. We calculate often. So what are we doing? We're in numbers. And then we get the 16, and we go, yes, 16. Right? I did 16, I'm good. I get 3 free meals and a bed. I did 16 rounds, I get my body in the temple room enough hours, chant 16 rounds, do some seva, I'm good to go. The goal is not 16 rounds. That's the biggest mistake. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada mentioned something. Now this is going to spin your head a little more as well. But I hope I'm not discouraging you. Well, try to encourage you, but I want to shake you before I encourage you. You ready to be shaken a little more? Yeah. After tonight, everyone will be like, I'm leaving the Hare Krishna movement. This is too hard, Bhaktisiddhanta said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the holy name is not the mere recitation of syllables. In other words, you say Krishna, and you think, well, Prabhupada said Krishna's in his name, right? Haven't you all learned that? Krishna's in his name. Don't we hear that? He's non-different. We hear that so many times. So many verses. Nama Chintamani Krishna's. Krishna's in his name. And now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, no, the mere sound, the mere repetition of the syllables, K-R-S-N-A, is not Krishna. Whoa. Now we're in trouble. I thought I could just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Om, 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 Hare Hare. 16 rounds, somehow or other get it done, I'm with Krishna. Not exactly. Not exactly. Isn't that interesting? Well, just like Krishna's in the deity, do you faint like Lord Chaitanya when you see the deity? Have you fainted lately? Hair standing on end, rolling on the ground. Well, he's there. What's wrong? When pure devotee chants the holy name, I mean, okay, let's go back. Could just try to understand. You've probably heard about ecstatic symptoms. When a devotee goes into ecstasy, he cries or she cries. The hairs stand on end. Sometimes the voice chokes up. Sometimes they roll on the ground, and other symptoms of madness. Have you heard that? Anybody not heard that? Why does that happen? Where was I the other day? I was somewhere eating. Where was I? I was somewhere eating, and right across from me were... I was in New York City. When was that? It was last week. This probably the same day last week. I was in New York City, and they have a little park on Broadway and like 32nd. So I was taking prasadam there. And right across was Victoria's Secret with three bigger-than-life pictures of Victoria's Secret models. You know, so this is New York, right? So that means these were the best Victoria's Secret models they could get, right? And then they photoshopped them. They even looked better than they could ever possibly look, right? Okay. So, you know, some guys look at those models and are like, oh, my God, if I could just have a girl like that. You know, they could get bewildered and crazy. Now, or ladies, there's some ladies here, so imagine if the Victoria's Secret had a men's shop and they got the equivalent of Victoria's Secret men and they were hanging out in their underwear, you know, 8 feet tall in a building, you know. And your boyfriend just left you, so you're like really hungry for a guy. You know? Now, imagine, see, you're gonna go away from this class completely agitated. You know? Can I hear a funny story? Satyananda Swami gave a class to the brahmacharis, you know, about sexual control. And after the class, he said, he asked one of his friends, how'd you like the class? And the friend said, I'm 1,000 times more sexually agitated now than when the class started because you've been talking about sex for the last hour. So you have to be careful, you know. So now imagine, okay, there are these guys, these girls. You don't have to visualize what they look like in their underwear, but you get the picture. They're like the creme de la creme of models, and they've been photoshopped, so they're on, you know, demigod levels, you know. Multiply that beauty, let's say 1,000 times, if you could even imagine somebody that beautiful, you know, which means whatever attraction you were feeling, you're feeling it now 1,000 times greater. Do you think your body and mind could even handle that without just like going crazy? Like something that beautiful? Or Beethoven multiplied 1,000 times? Or an artist multiplied 1,000? Something that just is like, it just like turns you on unlimitedly, a movie, a book, anything, and multiplied 1,000 times. And then you kind of understand what it's like when a devotee goes into ecstasy. The intensity of the experience can't be handled. Like you can't put it into words. Your body can't deal with it. It's too beautiful. There's too much love and affection. Right? Or like think of love, like the love a mother has for her child, or when you were a child, the love you had for a mother. Multiply it 1,000 times. You wouldn't be able to function. That's too much love, isn't it? It's just like, it would be overwhelming. Is Krishna 1,000 times more beautiful than Victoria's Secret models? I was just in South Africa. They don't say yes. They go, yeah. So I came back from South Africa. Yeah. 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 At least 1,000 times. Yeah. Try like unlimited. Try, you know, a million zeros, you know. One to the millionth zero. Something inconceivable. So Krishna's in his name. What did Prabhupada say? He said, when your senses are impure, you say Krishna, what happens? Not a whole lot, right? Sometimes you say Krishna, what happens? Hare Krishna. Krishna, you're so beautiful. I'm going to go to sleep right now. You know, well, this guy may be sitting out in the park where I was. He might be sleeping and want to take a nap. But when he sees those models on the billboard, he wakes up, right? That keeps them awake. So, the impure senses cannot experience Krishna. Only purified senses can experience Krishna. And that's why the pure devotee, when he chants Krishna, he's experiencing it, he goes crazy. That's Krishna. That means we're associating with Krishna. So, when our senses are impure, we're not chanting so well, there might be no association or some shadow association, but not the full association. Otherwise, you couldn't fall asleep. Now, here's the scary part. You ready to be scared? Shaken up? Bhaktisiddhanta said, Krishna is not in his name. He's inside his name. He said, just like medicine, it's not the capsule. You know, they do this placebo thing. Okay, take this medicine. It's a sleeping pill. And they give it to all these college students. It's amphetamine, and they take the pill, and they get knocked out. Oh, I got so tired after that pill. Then they give the sleeping pill. The other college students say, it's amphetamine. It'll keep you up all night. And they take it, and they're like wide awake studying all night. Right? Or in both cases, there's nothing in the pill. So the medicine is, right, inside. It's not the capsule. So, Bhaktisiddhanta said, Krishna is inside his name. So how does he get inside? And Krishna, the sound, is just the capsule. How does he get inside? Who puts him inside? And how does he get inside? That is the question. If you answer that question, you're good to go. How does he get inside? What do you think? Avoiding the offenses. What else?
Chanting the proper mood.
Chanting proper mood, proper consciousness.
Faith,
yeah. All these things. It's all us with the right attitude. Bhaktisiddhanta said, Krishna being attracted by the serving attitude of the devotee descends in his name. So everything you said is right. It's all part of that same concept. But it's your attitude. Have you noticed that? You notice the difference. You've had days when chanting was like, wow, this is amazing. And other days when, like, this is like really difficult. We all have them, right? What's going on? Krishna's more present in those good days because your attitude is right. Your effort is right. Effort is very important. Bhaktisiddhanta defined chanting without offense as making the effort to not commit the 10 offenses. Making the effort. Sounds like a simple definition, doesn't it? How many times do we chant and we're not making an effort to not commit the offense? Often, because the main offense, the biggest offense, the offense which causes the others, is inattention. And what does inattention mean? It means attention to something other than the sound. Right? What am I going to cook today? How many pots there are to clean? Hare Krishna, what will I have time to? I have to study, I have this paper. You know, it's all what I'm going to write. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If you're going to school, you know, you're thinking about school. How many of you are going to school? How many of you think of school when you chant japa? You don't? Well, that's why. When you went to school, you did? Yeah. Think of what you have to do. That is offensive. As innocent as that seems, that's offensive because it's distraction. It's time for me to put on my first t-shirt. I teach with t-shirts. I read a book in India last year. It was called In Search of the Obvious. It was a book about marketing. So how does it relate to Krishna consciousness? Well, the premise of the book is that the truth is always simple and obvious, and people miss it because it's too simple. It's not funny. Sometimes things are like we're talking like major companies miss it. They want to complicate something. They miss the truth because it's too simple. That can't be that. It's too simple. So when you look at this t-shirt, you're going to go, that's too simple. That doesn't mean anything. It's one of the most profound statements you will ever read. When you chant, chant. Duh. What does that mean? What do we do when we chant? Okay. Okay. Say, no, no, Prabhu, I sit right here in this temple for 2 hours. I don't move. And I chant. I don't believe it. I don't believe you're not doing something while you're sitting there in your head. I don't believe you are only with Krishna and the holy name for 16 rounds. You might be sitting here, but where's your consciousness? In the classroom? Out at Krishna lunch? Thinking about that nasty thing so-and-so Prabhu said to you yesterday? And how bad that was and how he shouldn't have said it? And how you're trying to forgive him, but you don't feel like it. And 16 rounds wasted on so-and-so Prabhu's nasty statement. Yes or yes? It happens to the best of us. That's not japa. The key to japa is the word meditation. It's not the meditation that you do the other 22 hours. What's the other 22 hours meditation? What do I have to do? How do I feel? Will this make me happy? Will this make me unhappy? I don't know if I want to do that. I might feel yucky if I do that. I'm afraid to do that. I hope they don't ask me to do that. You know, that's what the mind does. Right? That's not japa. It's not. Don't kid yourself. Okay, now, before I get kicked out of ISKCON, I have to encourage you. Yes, it's good, you're chanting. Very good, give yourself a big huddy ball. We're chanting. Yes, yes, good. Huddy ball, you do it. 16 rounds. It's good that you're doing it. You made a vow, you're keeping it. That's glorious. There's billions of other people in this world who are not doing it, so I don't want to demean you. But I want you to come to a higher level than that. And that's why I'm challenging you with all these things that probably you may not have heard put in this way. Okay? So now, where did this statement come from? It seems so simple. It seems too obvious. Of course, when you chant, chant. Where did it come from? It came from 6 years of teaching japa workshops. And I asked myself, if there's one principle that every other principle falls under, what would it be? Everything I teach, what would it fall under? It would fall under this. Because this is the biggest challenge we have when we chant. Oh, Prabhu, my mind. Did you ever say that? When I chant, but my mind, it's so difficult to control. And so what do? We accept it. Go, yeah, well, it's just the way it is. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I go gliding around the universe when I chant my rounds, because that's just the way it is. Because everybody knows the mind is just restless and wanders, and that's how it is. And then we give in, and then we chant japa with a mind that wanders. Okay. How important is it to chant good japa? This is really the key that can help you get over this. Because otherwise, it's very easy to say that. Well, the mind's just hard to control. So I just chant my rounds. And I can't, you know, I try to control it, but. You know that word, but? It's a really good word to wipe out of your dictionary. Because everything that comes after the but is a huge problem. If you replace but with and, it's better. The mind is difficult to control, and I'm going to try. Mind's difficult to control, but you know, nobody can do it. Now, I'm not speaking just from my experience, and I'm not falling in fault with you. I'm speaking from the experience of hundreds of devotees. This is a broad generalization. I'm not saying you chant this way every day or you don't. It's a broad generalization of the tendency we have. So The mind's difficult to control. I chant my rounds. And just whatever, you know. Just get them done. 16. Finished. Trivikram Swami tells a story that he was sitting in front of Prabhupada, chanting japa. Prabhupada was doing something. Prabhupada stopped what he was doing. He looked up and said, "Maharaj, do you hear when you chant?" Just like if somebody were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, you could kind of hear they're distracted. When someone's distracted, you can just hear it in their voice, right? So Prabhupada thought he was distracted, so we asked him. And then Maharaj said, "Yes, Prabhupada, I hear." And Prabhupada said, "You should hear every word, because this chanting is the essence of our philosophy." Isn't that interesting? Don't you think of like the essence of a philosophy as a point, like a point of clarity, a foundational realization? Wouldn't that be like, what's the essence? Essence of our philosophy is loving Krishna. But here Prabhupada's saying the essence is a practice, because it's the practice that gets you the love. Isn't that interesting? Chanting Hare Krishna is the essence of our philosophy. Wow. Now, Giriraj Swami tells a story. He lost his beads, his initiation beads. So he asked Prabhupada if he could chant on a new set of beads. Prabhupada obliged. Prabhupada sent the beads with a letter and he said, "Your beads are your link to Krishna," meaning your 16 rounds are your link to Krishna. Wow. It's the essence of our philosophy. It's the link to Krishna. That's pretty important. Isn't it? Pretty important. I mean, I thought you get up, you go to Mangalartik, you go to Tulsi Puja, you go to class, you do service, you chant Hare Krishna. I thought everything is the same. That's how I thought when I was a devotee, new devotee. You know, when I was a new devotee, the oldest person in the temple who was like really old, I mean like for me, because I didn't hang around with old people, was 29 years old. That was like, practically for me, that was like, wow, 29. I was 19. That was like, and he was like, there were like three people in ISKCON, you know, over 29, and they were like 32. So, and, you know, these senior people, when I joined, were 2 and 3 years in the movement. We didn't know much. So we got all these practices, and we just did them. Nobody told us anything discriminated. Well, this is better than that, or how you do it. So for us, it was just, yeah, you just chant Hare Krishna. Just, you know, then you go out on Sankirtan. Then you take lunch. Then you clean the bathroom. You know, to us, it was all just like, just another thing you do. And then we got initiated. You know how I got initiated? One day I was sitting in the temple, and they said, "Okay, Prabhupada's in L.A., so these devotees are going to go down and get initiated." I never asked. Just, oh, we get initiated. You know, I clean the bathroom, I chant, go in Sankirtan, we get initiated. It was just, everything was just like one big homogenous thing. We didn't know one thing from another. We're going to Ratha Yatra, and then you get initiated, and then, you know, you go to India, and it's like, okay, whatever. So japa's not like that. In the Madhyalila, chapter 22, verse 113, Prabhupada says, "Of all the rules and regulations given by the spiritual master, the order to chant 16 rounds is most essential." So all, everything. Wow. The essence of our philosophy, you're linked to Krishna, and of all the principles, it's the most essential. It must be pretty important. Of all the 64 items, chanting Hare Krishna is the most important. Wow. I better not space out when I chant. This is more important than I thought. Right? This is pretty important stuff here. Prabhupada used to initiate devotees, and he would say, "Your beads are your ticket back to Godhead. Prabhu, if I were issuing tickets tonight back to Godhead, would you want one? But there might be some stipulations. What you have to do to get it. Would you do it? As long as if it wasn't like Fear Factor where you had to eat worms or something, yeah. It wouldn't be anything like that. Or eat termites, I don't know. That could be dangerous. So, yeah, okay. If we do not realize how important it is, it's very easy to be slack. If you went to the doctor tomorrow, and the doctor said, "Sir or madam, I have to tell you, you have a serious illness. And if you don't take care of it, within 5 years, you will die." Then you would say, "What do I do?" He'd say, "This is how you have to eat. This is how you have to think. This is how you have to exercise," and so on. "And these are the medicines and other things." And he said, "But of everything, the most essential is that you walk an hour a day with, and you have to build your heart beat up to this fast, and you have to walk this many miles in a day. Would you take that seriously? More than the other things?" "Of course you would." "Why?" "Because your life depends on it." Japa is the same thing. We have so many activities, but the doctor says, "Of all the things I tell you, this 16 rounds is most essential." So when we understand that, it's easier to chant. Now, we go back to the other point. When we're talking about 16 rounds, we're not talking about 16 rounds. We're not talking about a walk. We're talking about 5 mile walk. You have to walk 5 miles in an hour, 7 days a week, or you're dead meat in 5 years. Oh, okay. All right. I have to do it right. Your heart rate has to be up. You have to get one of those, whatever they are, so you can monitor your... So you're really serious about it. You're doing it, right? No matter what, you do it. Even if you're busy, you do it. You do it right. Japa should be like that because it's the most important. In all your spiritual... Of all your spiritual practices, it's the most important. Don't want to mess it up. Okay, so this is the goal, right? When you chant, chant. How do you do it? You know what the mind's like. You can go on, you can travel to the moon and back in a tenth of a second. Did you know that? Let's go to the moon. Everyone think of the moon. We just went to the moon in a tenth of a second. The mind's pretty fast. We go through about a thought every second or two. You know, that's like 100 thoughts. We're going like, what do they say? 500 thoughts a minute. People speak 150 and you're going 500 thoughts a minute. I mean, you're way on top of what people are speaking. The mind's just going. So now I'm supposed to chant and hear? How do I do that? You all went to school. If you're not going to school at all, you all went to school, right? And sometimes it was time to study, but you didn't want to, right? You wanted to do something else. What did you do? Your mind is racing. You had a busy day of so many things to worry about. What did you do? If you were smart, you went to the library. And somehow you calmed yourself down, created some sattva, and then what did you do? You studied. First your mind was reeling a little bit, but, right? You do that? We all do it, right? Devotees say, "But it's difficult to control my mind." And I say, "But you did it, or you're doing it as a student because you have to. You have to control it. Otherwise you can't study. You'll read pages in the book, and I'll ask you, what did you read? And you say, I don't know, I was thinking about my girlfriend. I was thinking about what I had to do tomorrow. You know you can't do that. You're not going to pass. You have to get your mind focused. That's the way it works. And we do that. We all do it. So devotees say, "But it's so hard when I'm chanting to focus." And I say, "But you already know how to do it. You did it as a student." You're busy, 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 so many things, so many phone calls. This is the age of multitasking, right? One phone here, email here, Facebook here, right? Everything's going on crazy. You got to go to work. What do? Ooh. You have to wind it down so you can focus on your work. You can't go into work with your mind scattered in 12 places, right? You're at the cash register giving people back the wrong change because you're thinking about all the things that were going on. No. Focus. You just don't you do that when you go to work? You're just going to leave. You got to leave your day out, isn't it? You have to leave what was going on at the door and just go, okay, it's time to go to work. They're giving me money. If I don't, they're going to fire me. Right? Isn't it? Any of you work before? You got a lot going on in your life. You'd rather not go to work. You could do a million things with your friends, your studies, whatever. You have to go to work. We prepare ourselves. We know we're going to have to stop. We do it. So, what's my point? My point is we do it. We know how to do it. We have the capacity. The mind's nature is it has the capacity to get absorbed. It can get absorbed. Now, here's the key. You want to hear the key? Who wants to hear the key? Very important. This is like major revelation. Years and years of teaching workshops, years and years of messing up myself. A teacher cannot mess up. Teacher has to practice what he preaches. Desperately trying to understand how to chant and be with the name, the holy name. It's all about the intention which we create before we begin chanting. And most of us do not create the intention to be focused and with the holy name before we begin. We just pick up the beads and begin. And what's your mind doing before you begin? Same thing it always does. Digest thoughts, regurgitate thoughts, create new thoughts, worry about things, plan, hate somebody, love somebody. That's what it does. So now you put your hand in your bead and you begin chanting and your mind is already on this track. And it just stays on this track. Now, if you're fortunate and you chant well, it may tend to slow down. And you know, you say, oh, after the third round, fourth round, fifth round, eighth round, ninth round, I'm finally hearing. So, okay, you wasted eight rounds on thinking about all these exciting things like how many bananas I have to buy this afternoon. Pretty exciting stuff to think about while you're chanting japa, isn't it? That's really a waste of mental energy. Right? You know, it's your wedding day. There you are in front of the crowd and it's your initiation day. There you are. You know, you're sitting at the fire. You're going to get initiated and you're thinking about, did I pay my credit card bill yesterday? How was it? Did I write that? I don't know if they signed the check or I can't remember. You know, and my mother asked me to do it. Do you think like that? I don't think so. I hope not. It's just as ridiculous to think like that when we chant the holy name because Krishna is there. So, just as you prepare when you go to work, you prepare when you go to study, you prepare before you chant japa. And this is what you're going to do tomorrow morning because you've been assigned to chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life. And if you're going to chant the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life, you better do something drastically different. Otherwise, what's going to happen? It'll be a little better, but you'll be struggling. It's my experience. There has to be a change. Now, how do we do this? Well, remember I was saying what the holy name is your link to Krishna? It's the of all 64 items, it's the most important of all the principles Prabhupada gave. It's the most important. It's the essence of our philosophy. We take that into consideration tomorrow morning before we chant around. We say, this is pretty important stuff. this is important enough to not be thinking about anything else, isn't it? Isn't it important enough to be just so? What do I do? How do I do that? We meditate on the importance. That's the foundation. And then we create an intention. What's the intention? Okay, Krishna, while I'm chanting, I'm making a commitment to you to be present with you during japa. I'm making that commitment. This is what I'm doing now while I'm chanting. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not meditating on talking to anybody. I'm not thinking about it. You see, the thing is, Here's the essential point. If we don't do that, we have not committed our mind to support us in our japa. We've let it do whatever it wants. Little child, you're going into a store. Say, don't touch anything. It's not allowed. I won't take you in the store. If you don't tell him, he's going to touch everything, grab everything. So you have to create some rules. When we chant, we need some guidelines. What are the rules that we create for ourselves? We have to create rules. Otherwise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we're off. We're off around the universe, and then it gets worse. We're on to the internet. We're on the Facebook. Checking our text message. Hare Krishna, check your text messages. Are your text messages so important to check while you chant japa that you put Krishna on hold? Krishna says, hold on a second, I've got a text message. If you were on the altar addressing the deities, would you do that? Is there any difference between the deity and the holy name? No. We don't realize that, but there isn't. We have to remind ourselves that when I chant Hare Krishna, it's the same as being on the altar worshiping Krishna. Non-different. The holy name is not a different Krishna. It's the same one. Did you know that? We don't realize it yet. Someday we'll realize it. You remember while we started, we said we should feel remorseful when we chant. We should be very, very careful. We should understand well this nam aparad means neglecting Krishna when we chant. We don't want to do it. We want to create boundaries. And we can all create boundaries. Is your mind going to wander? Yes, but a lot less. And over time, it's going to wander a lot less. Sadhus used to chant in caves. Why do you think they chanted in caves? Why did they chant on Fifth Avenue? Why didn't they go to a big city in India and chant on the corner? That would be a good place to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Just chant on the corner. Why? Yeah. Only you and Krishna. You and Krishna. So it's kind of like you want to, when you're chanting, you kind of want to go into a vacuum. It's you and the holy name. That's what japa is. It's just you and the holy name. It's not your life. It's not how many bananas to buy. It's not who you like, who you don't like, what you have to do. And then we get this problem. The creative types, Hare Krishna, creating in their mind while they're chanting, there's this new idea, and we could do it this way, Ram Ram, and that way, Ram Ram, and this way, Krishna, Krishna, that way, Ram Ram, this way, Krishna, Krishna. This color, Rama Rama, that color, this tune, Rama Rama, that spice, Rama Rama. You know, it's just like, chanting is a very creative process. That's not japa. It's not. It isn't. Okay, so now, you've created some parameters for yourself. You've created a paradigm, an intention, that when I chant, I'm going to chant. That's what I'm going to do. And internally, you realize, why am I doing this? Because this is an essentially important activity for my spiritual life. And offenseless chanting means making the effort. So I make the effort. Now, effort is very interesting because we always think Krishna's mercy, it'll just happen. Effort is like, it's a material thing. It's karma kanda. It's like, you know, it's for materialistic people. I'll do it myself. I was born disadvantaged, and I became successful. I did it myself. And the other extreme is, God did it all, I didn't do anything. They're both not true. The truth is in the middle. That we make the effort and Krishna responds with the effort. It's not like, how are your rounds? Well, whenever Krishna wants them to be good, they will be. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare whatever, Hare Rama. Krishna wants me to chant good, I'll chant good. Hare Rama, don't bother me. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Right? So that's not our philosophy. And our philosophy isn't, I'm going to chant good. I can do anything. I'm successful in anything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Listen to how I pronounce it. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I do it perfectly. I sit straight, I pronounce perfectly. I control my mind, I do it. It's not that either. It's making the effort. But the effort is not external. It's not mechanical. The effort is what? The effort is... It's an effort to be with Krishna, to honor Krishna in his name, to not be a robot when we chant, but to be present. So now I have to tell you something about being present, although we have to end soon and I have to give another class. But when your mind is wandering, you're not present, and present means to be fully aware of what's happening. Most of us are not completely aware of everything that's happening, but when the mind is going, it tends to go into the future or the past, right? Because the mind can go, you can think about, you know, you can think about any event in the past that you remember, and you can imagine any event in the future you wish to imagine. And the mind does that very easily, right? So, have you ever done something, but thought about doing something else, and you're completely detached from what you're doing, and you're like, you know, when it gets really bad, you have your keys in your hand and you're looking for them. You can't find them. You ever done that? You're looking for your sunglasses and they're on your head. Looking for your hat and it's on your head. That's like an extreme degree of not being present. You know, it's in your pocket and you're like, where is it? I can't find it, but it's in your pocket. Because you're worried about having to leave right now and you're looking for something. And you're frantic. And you're looking everywhere except your hand or your pocket. So it's an extreme example of not being present and not being aware of what's happening at that moment. So chanting japa means to be fully present. And the name, there's an experience. Prabhupada said we should feel the name. There's an experience. But you can be aloof from a feeling. You know, like sometimes somebody could be expressing something to you for which you should be feeling something, you might feel, you're not feeling anything. It's just, that's the kind of, you're just not in tune with what they're expressing. Or you think, oh, they're just trying to get something from me. Or you're not there with the person. So you're not even experiencing what you should be experiencing. We have so many examples of this. You know, someone talking to you, you're just not there. You're studying, you're reading. You're not there. You don't remember anything you read. You're thinking of something else. That's living in the mind. But when you live in the heart, that's when you're present. Because when you experience things from the heart, emotion, then you're present. So when are you present with the holy name? When there's more experience, there's more feeling, there's more prayer. That's when you're there. Right? When you get in the head, you lose experience. And you're just... you're wherever your head is at that point. And the holy name is just, it's not really integrated with you. You know, you could be on the phone talking to someone about something really exciting, and you're eating, and your experience is the conversation, it's not the food. You're absorbed in the conversation. Although there is an experience to eating, but you're not experiencing it. You ever had that experience? You're like so absorbed in something, you're just eating, and you look at your plate and you go, who ate my prasadam? I couldn't have eaten all this, you know, because you were not present to your eating. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you get to 16 rounds, you go, oh my God, I didn't hear one mantra, the whole 16. What happened? Where did the time go? Right? So we're on the phone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's like we're eating, we're not there. So present means the mind has to, you have to tell your mind, okay, mind, we don't need you. You're... On sabbatical now, I'm chanting. I'll get you when I finish. I don't need you. Unless you're thinking of Krishna's form, pastimes, I don't need you. Unless you're supporting me in japa, I don't need you. Just go for a walk. We'll get back together later. I just want to experience the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I want to be present to that experience. What is that experience? Prabhupada said, feel Krishna in his holy name. What is that experience? You feel it in kirtan, don't you? You feel Krishna in kirtan? What is that? It's just a sound. It's not just a sound, it's Krishna. You're feeling it. You can feel it in japa also. But you have to pay that price of effort. Sankalpa means intention. Go in with the intention, with the realization that when I chant, what do? When you chant. That's how you do it. And when you catch yourself drifting, you stop yourself and say, this is not japa. This is just clicking the clock, putting the time. In India, at these government jobs, people don't do anything. You go in the post office, the guy's sleeping. You ever been in a post office in India? Guy's sleeping on the desk. You just haven't been in India, you think, it's true. You know? They put in the clock, the time, 8 hours. There's nothing to do. They're just hanging out, right? They put their time in. So it's not just putting in the time, 16 rounds. I clocked in 16. It's not about that. Okay? So will that help you tomorrow in your effort to chant the best rounds ever? So I'd like you to chant the best rounds ever, and then tomorrow night we're going to come back and share our experience and see what went well, what didn't go well, where our challenges are. But if you can just remind yourself, I'm chanting, that's what I do. When I chant, I chant. I don't do anything else externally, internally. Really be in that mode. Just like when you talk to somebody, you should be present fully. When you're hearing someone speak, you're fully present. Be fully present to Krishna out of respect. Otherwise, it's offensive. You're disrespecting the holy name. Okay. So, now what? I can keep you here till 8 o'clock, and you can ask questions. At the same time, I'm going to give another class, and I don't know if I'm going to sit here and give it or not, but I'm going to have to prepare for it, because every Tuesday I do class on Krishna.com. So in about 10 minutes, I'll have to start. We can go with questions, but I have to start preparing. Could someone ask Tulsi Rani where I'm going to do it, if I'm going to do it in this room or not? I just...